Hello, and welcome back to the Box Shift Podcast, the summer 2013 summer movie edition. How's it going, guys?
It is going good.
Well, it's going all right.
How we're talking
apparently
tonight.
It's the Shatner edition. Joined by Stein, Curtis, Benner, and back again. We had him here for the Oscar edition. We got our buddy Eddie. How's it going, Eddie?
It's going all right.
Excellent, excellent. Here to discuss summer movies.
Man, it's a party tonight.
It's breaking down in Norfolk.
Well, when you've got summer movies like R.I.P.D., how could it be anything else?
So yeah, we're basically going to talk about the upcoming the summer season here of film. What's happened since we last met to really cover? Not much else besides Roy Nelson did some work on Saturday night.
That was nice.
It was quite awesome. Chael needs to give it up. That was pretty depressing. But
yeah, he had no business being in there.
No, it was like a man playing with a child.
Yeah.
And also Pain and Gain. We'll talk about that real quickly because we've got a difference of opinions here. Benner, shockingly, was not a fan of it. But myself and Eddie enjoyed it. We'll start off. Eddie, you're the guest. Can you just give us a quick recap on your thoughts of it?
Yeah, I liked it. I was looking forward to it against my better judgment, and maybe the low expectations helped because I really enjoyed it.
Benner, what didn't you? We talked about it before we started recording, but what was it that you really?
First I'll start off by saying I found the movie to be hilarious. I was laughing all the way through it. However, the movie does not shame these characters enough, and it has essentially a monologue or something that how they. Like the outro to the movie, and it leaves a sour taste because and it talks about how all in all they're just part of the American dream. What they're doing is part of the American dream. And it's like, oh no, no buddy, you're wrong. I think Michael Bay just did not do enough to make us see these characters as criminals, and we're supposed to, I guess, care for them, but
no,
they're pretty horrible.
Well, yeah, you're right. They are horrible. We're not meant to care about them at all because they're complete idiots. And they're portrayed
that's
as such.
What I took away from the comedic aspect is we're supposed to laugh at their idiocy, pretty much.
The thing that I didn't really get was they're clearly unlikable, but I don't know why they went and made the guy they were attacking even more unlikable.
Tony Shalhoub.
I mean, I know, like, basically all these characters are straight from the Michael Bay factory because they're all horrible idiots that can't die fast enough, but it's weird in this movie where they're just all awful and the trio of criminals are particularly buffoonish. And
yeah, there seems to only be one decent person in the whole movie, pretty much, though. I mean, arguably you could say Rebel Wilson's character is decent, but
Ed Harris is the
only guy in this movie that's decent.
Well, that's also kind of...
Ed Harris is a good man.
I mean, if you... I read the story, the insanely long magazine article, and the Ed Harris character, the real-life private eye, he's basically the only functional adult in the story. He's the only one of intelligence to speak of.
I think the other part was the wow factor of it, that it's very unlike anything Michael Bay's made in the past 10 years, and maybe even ever in terms of its tone.
It's far more artistic than anything else I think he's ever done.
Dare I even say perhaps ambitious, but I think everyone involved was pretty good. I think Rock may have been the best performance in it.
Oh god, yeah. Yeah.
You
stole the show all throughout.
I think Wahlberg and The Rock are both very good, and The Rock is more overly funny, but Wahlberg, he's pretty funny on his own, and usually in more subtle ways.
Yeah, agreed. It's very interesting, and it's made...
Wahlberg's one of those... Oh, sorry to interject. I think he's one of those guys who's actually a much better comedic than dramatic actor.
Yeah.
Someone hasn't told him that.
Yeah, it makes for interesting discussion, as this has shown, so... check it out, because even like Benner said, he didn't necessarily at the end of the day care for it, but he still found points to enjoy.
It's hilarious. Yeah. At least it'll give you tons and tons of laughs.
I'm so hung up on the idea of this being Michael Bay's Tony Scott movie. And I just want to know if it feels that way to anyone else. Like, I mean, I haven't had a chance to see it, obviously. Just in terms of, like, the oversaturation of colors, the stylistic extreme to which they take a true story, like, that's almost, like, absurd. Like, it just, I can't help but think of Domino.
I don't know, I disagree.
In hearing people's postmortems, that doesn't seem to be the case.
Yeah, I don't agree. It's
disabused of
the Bay's style is so heavily influenced by Tony Scott that kind of almost seems a bit of a roundabout.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen the movie, so I can't really comment
on
it.
And, like, oddly, the movie. I mean, I really don't think the movie, even though the movie gets pretty crazy and absurd, all that stuff comes straight from real life. Like, there's not much embellishment to the craziness at hand.
I did read a breakdown of, like, what actually happened and what was just fictionalized for Hollywood, and with the exception of, like, a couple chase scenes, it seems like they stuck pretty true to the story, which makes it even more hilarious. There's the shot towards the end where there's the Rock's doing something quite absurd, and then it pauses and says, "This is still a true story," and you don't believe it,
that's,
and you read
that's
about,
a Tony Scottish touch, but that's that's one that I don't know. I really didn't care for that. It was unnecessary.
Like the cocaine side effects thing that pops up. I mean, that's some Tony Scott.
I also, now that I think about it, like, I forget about an era when Tony Scott movies used to look fairly normal back when he did Beverly Hills Cop 2 and Up Through Revenge and Crimson Tide. And Michael Bay movies also used to look the exact same way. So maybe I shouldn't be shocked at the parallels in their filmmaking style, because, you know, there was a time when Michael Bay was more restrained than he is now, and Tony Scott was the same way, so maybe.
The Rock, I still think, is a very good movie. I mean, just a fun action thriller that he kind of dialed back his natural instincts for it. And
yeah, I mean, that's the that and Bad Boys are fairly restrained in their style.
The first Bad Boys, yeah, and that's also just kind of an example of, as silly as it is, like, the director's commentary on it, talk about just how restrained the budget was and how they kind of had to, what tricks they had to do to make it look, you know, because that looks like, back in 95 dollars, a $50 million movie, but I think it was just over $20 million, so.
Man, that's pretty impressive.
Also, and the second Bad Boys functions as a very dark, very dark comedy.
Yeah.
Very nihilistic, but,
A fun fact I didn't know for a while was that the first Bad Boys and Midnight Run were written by the same guy.
The original scripts, yeah. I don't think Bad Boys was exactly an airtight. What was shot was from the page, but.
Oh yeah, true enough. I mean, he still gets credit, but that's the way the world works. No, it takes a act of Congress to get somebody discredited from a movie.
Indeed. So Pain and Gain.
Thumbs up.
Definitely worth seeing.
Hey, you can't do that.
I'm sorry. Again, like he said perfectly, against our better judgment, being a Michael Bay movie, but still, yeah, check it out. It's a surprising amount of fun. And then I forgot here, before we hop into the summer movies, also just get a few quick hits on Mud, because Benner, Curtis, and Eddie have seen it already. So, Curtis, you want to kick it off?
Yeah. I really liked it. Matthew McConaughey was great. I think it had solid performances all the way around. The two little kids were particularly good, but the one I liked the most was the buddy Neckbone, because that kid was just all kinds of hilarious.
Yeah, this movie understands what you're supposed to do with Reese Witherspoon in a movie, and less is more is the name of the game. So she, I think, is in 2-3 scenes, and that's all you need of her. But yeah, it's got so many layers to it, or thematically. It's just, oh man, it's just such a good movie, and it deserves all the praise in the world. I think I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah, I agree. I know we're only 5 months into the year, but it's far and away the best thing I've seen this year. McConaughey, of course, like, continuing his streak, but this performance is. It's so good. I really hope it's not forgotten come awards season, because it's, he's funny, he's, I guess you could say charming in it,
he's charming. He's got a grungy,
charming, mysterious way, but he's,
you can't
he's
help also, but care for him.
And he's also appealing. He's charismatic, best way to put it. He's,
yeah.
I mean, he is in all his roles, but or especially of late, but he's particularly good. And I think the kid that plays Neckbone, he is good, but he's, I don't know, he's more comic relief. The main kid, that's major acting that he's showing. He's
agreed.
Especially, there's a scene where he, because the biggest theme of the movie to me is love, and when he gets his first kiss and you see like the budding puppy love, the way he plays it is, you know, you don't get that from a lot of great professional actors, or adult actors, I should say.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say, like, his outburst against McConaughey is a really great moment in the movie, because it's like everything just bottled up for this kid.
It is. He is really good and awesome. Believable when he goes to the emotional extremes or has the outburst, but the subtler moments are, you know, they land just as well.
It's also, I mean, like, when you talk about puppy love, that's also, like, the first moment where they draw a parallel between himself and Mud, because they're just so hopeless about a particular girl, and, you know, they'll fight for him, that they're sort of blind to the way that they're being taken for granted. And I don't know, I guess that another thing the movie does is it establishes that, you know, it shows you how things like that can be cyclical, especially, like, in a small town. And there are just certain roles that we get stuck in.
I guess I do need to comment that I did find a negative theme in the movie about women and what women do to men that I wish wasn't in there, because I don't wholly agree with it, and I feel like it's a one little bit of sourness that's in the movie, but I think everything else kind of overshadows that theme, but it's there, and I don't think it's not something you can debate against, because there's no woman in this movie that isn't a bad or doesn't screw somebody over in some way.
Most women screw over some man.
Well, I don't agree that every single woman does that. But this movie would lead you to believe such a thing.
I think on the flip side, it may not be as much of a damning indictment of the bad things women do as much as it is, you know, that, you know, that sometimes love just, you know, it makes us too soft-hearted. The blinders that it puts on us are a little too intense. I think it's as much an indictment of that as it is of the women.
But blinders to what, the bad things that women can do to you?
No,
because essentially all these guys, they suffer for what women have done to them.
I think it's unfortunate that it makes the women characters look bad, because that's not the point of it at all. It's about, you know, this is love, this is, you know, these are the highs, these are the lows, because, I mean, the girls get plenty of credit for the highs, or particularly the teen girl, but I think your point is pretty valid, but I didn't see it that way, because I thought it was just the nature of love. Like, love can be, you know, great and bad at the same time.
All right, I'll concede, but I'd find it hard to take away anything other than that when it comes to the female characters.
Well, they completely, you know, not to get too deep and spoilery, but as far as the dissolution,
this should be good.
As far as the dissolution of the main kid's parents' marriage go, they hold back a lot about, you know, the father's role in this. Like, we know that the woman wants to change, but they hold back so much about his part in it that the deck is stacked against her a little unfairly. So, like, that negativity that we're giving the women, that we're, you know, pushing on their shoulders, like, we don't necessarily know that they deserve it, because they deliberately keep some of that stuff from us.
Okay, well, I guess I can admit that the movie definitely, the kid does not spend a whole lot of time with his family, and he tries to just want to avoid them, but that also is probably because of what's going on with them. But I guess by virtue of him doing that, we're not exactly getting her story and why she's making the decisions that all the men in her family are suffering for, but yeah, it, I don't know. Okay, but okay, besides that, the thing that it says about bonds between, like, father, son,
surrogate fathers,
so much better and just such a sweet thing to have in this movie, so I'll just continue to think about that instead.
And on a weekend where a movie that even Benner liked was in theaters, you took me to see Lords of Salem.
I'm sorry. Does the first scene of the movie have a Beeb shot of Reese Witherspoon?
No. Are you making a callback to Killer Joe?
Yeah.
Okay, well, since you're making a callback to Killer Joe, I'll at least say this. Matthew McConaughey in Killer Joe and in this, he's so good that I wish his filmography was just roles like that.
Well,
it was none of this fool's gold shit, none of that.
Yeah, his career resurgence the last two or three years has just been incredible.
I think he's just smart, though. He's like, I'm going to make all this money and then go show whatever it can be.
Yeah, because these small movies that he's doing now, he's not getting...
Like, Killer Joe didn't, like, tear down the box office doors and...
Well, we'd all be.
He should. I thought he should have gotten a supporting nomination for Magic Mike.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't even see that movie.
Yes. Really? He was.
He's really good in that. Yeah.
I mean, and he was. I mean, and still, I mean, Matthew McConaughey is charming on screen no matter what. But in that one, he's just slimy and very, very good performance.
Oh, Lincoln Lawyer. It's one of my favorites of his filmography. This also, it reminded me a lot about that because how serious he takes the role in
Ryan Phillippe is shockingly good in Lincoln Lawyer, and he's a lightweight at best on screen as far as dramatic roles. Yeah. And
I was telling Benner the other day, oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, Lincoln Lawyer is just one of those kind of under...
I hope that's a franchise that they can revisit as a television show or something. I think it would work really well.
McConaughey's not doing a TV series.
Yeah. Well, just a sequel. Yeah. Just give me one.
He's also really good in Bernie, lest we forget.
He's doing these great just character supporting roles. And it might have been a thing. He did these stupid romantic comedies that made a lot of money and made him a lot of money. And if he saved all that, he can finally just be like, well, I have fuck you money. I can now do characters and roles and films that interest me.
And he's
getting an Oscar nomination next year for the Dallas Buyers Club because the story is really interesting, but he's playing a real life AIDS victim. So, I mean, there's only four slots left for best actor next year. One is in the hole.
We'd also be remiss if we didn't mention that this role was written specifically for McConaughey. That's another thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's cool to see Jeff Nichols' career taking off, too.
Absolutely.
If people out there haven't seen a movie called Take Shelter, they should.
That's another thing.
To the four
just
people listening.
With the ending of the movie, just in general. Like, the good thing about...
Please don't.
No, it's not. It's just a comment.
I really
want to
see Mud.
I'm not going to give the ending away. It's just a comment on the general sort of... tenor of the ending of Jeff Nichols' films. I like that there's like an absence of cynicism. The clouds part and people are allowed to rebuild their lives.
Okay, let's move on right now before he tells me shot for shot what happens.
This director has got a great eye for good actors. Because he's got, was his name Ray McKinnon, the guy from Deadwood?
Yeah.
And was on Sons. And he's got, I always mess the guy's name. General Zod, what's his
Michael
name?
Shannon.
Michael Shannon. I always bastardize his name.
Take Shelter.
Yeah. His first film,
Shotgun
Stories.
They're underused, but that's only because of how great they are as actors. And this director's got a great eye for actors.
There's another guy who I wish, he's never going to be a leading man, not that he probably, but Michael Shannon's just one of the most underutilized guys in cinema right now. And he has the best gift that a actor could hope for, in that he has one of those unusual faces, not in a bad way, but in a you remember it way. So that's just one of the greatest gifts any actor could ask for. And hopefully after Superman, if it's good, he'll take off.
Like Abe Vigoda?
As long as he doesn't leave Boardwalk Empire.
Abe Vigoda is a handsome man.
One of the more intriguing things on that show.
They need
alive.
To, they need
Keith Richards' illegitimate son.
Plot.
Very much so.
All right,
I don't do it exactly, but
thank you,
Sam
fellas.
Sam and Abe Vigoda used to party back in the day.
Thanks, fellas, for the Mud review. Moving on here to summer movies, we'd be remiss if we didn't start with the kickoff movie. The tailgate party, so to speak, of the summer is going to be Iron Man 3 coming out. This Friday. I think we're all pretty excited. Excited to lukewarm about it.
Shane Black.
Yeah.
Taking the franchise in new directions.
It's hard to get crazy pumped about it after Iron Man 2, which by no means is like a god-awful film, but it's just very...
It's unfocused.
It's very flat and kind of life on its side, but I think Iron Man 3 has the potential to be pretty awesome.
There's been a lot of stories about a lot of behind-the-scenes trouble for Iron Man 2 as far as writing and a very rushed production schedule.
Yeah.
Okay. And I don't think the movie's bad, but that definitely shows on screen. The narrative thrust of it's kind of all over the place.
Apparently they would rewrite big chunks of the movie based on people's moods on any given day.
You cast Mickey Rourke, man.
That's why it was meandering so much.
Eddie, you fall on the kind of just lukewarm about Iron Man 3. You're not looking forward to it? It's just one of the things that's setting your world on fire?
Not at all. I'm going to see it mainly if the sole reason I'm seeing it is because of Shane Black, and we don't get to see enough movies from him, so I can't really turn my nose up at the chance to see a new one, but... mainly due, my dislike for the second one outweighs my liking for the original. So, if there wasn't an interesting writer director doing this one, I would probably skip it.
I think also being the first Marvel movie to follow the Avengers, there's obviously a built-in amount of intrigue for
that.
Not
a envious spot to be in.
Yeah.
It's doing a good thing in following it, though, because as you can tell from the trailers, they're just throwing everything out there and trying to make it the flashiest thing to at least keep this, what they're calling, phase two of their movies, have this, bigger and better, and we're just going to keep going, so... I guess what they're ultimately going to try and do is that Avengers 2 is just going to be something you never thought you would see. So,
and
just as much as the first one was.
Interesting now, just for a standalone Iron Man film. Now that they have brought the whole Marvel universe into the Iron Man films directly, to where there are aliens now, and there are, the first one. It's ridiculous. It's a comic book movie, giant robots and stuff, but it's grounded in a sense of reality as far as its own internal reality. But now, you have gods and aliens and all this. So it'd be interesting to see as a standalone film now how that incorporates it or tries to downplay it.
And just because I find everything he does to be intriguing, and Guy Pearce, I think that'll be interesting to see how...
Another underutilized guy.
How he does.
His stuff, last year with Lockdown, Lockout.
Prometheus.
It's like
You left out a groundbreaking performance.
Lawless
is
fantastic.
What was his character's name in Lawless?
Fantastic in it.
Charlie Rakes. Rakes, yeah, you dude. Motherfucker.
He's just one of those. Guy Pearce is one of those actors who really deserves a lot better, but he's never been able to make it to that next level as far as being able to be cast in.
His role in Prometheus is very unnecessary, but that's a different discussion for a different time.
Right. Volumes on everything that's wrong with that movie. Guy Pearce would only be about half of one.
Curtis, you looking forward to it?
Yeah, I think it's going to be really awesome. I think it's going to be more Earthbound. I don't think we're going to have to worry about the bigger picture with the aliens and stuff. What are you shaking your head no for?
It's not. Not at all.
Oh, have
you
seen it?
For fuck's sake. You should just tell us every spoiler.
Well, I'm just letting you know
have
that
you seen
you're
it
wrong.
Already?
No, I've gone to so many different sources and read spoilers that of them doing it.
Why would you do that? Why would you want to do that?
Well, essentially because the one thing that mattered to me was spoiled to me, so then I was just like, fuck it, I don't care. And so,
in a good way or a bad way? Why did they
no,
do
it was
that,
something
or?
That ultimately I'm kind of pissed off about. But I was looking for good things that are going to make me feel better going into this movie than how mad I got when I read that. Then I just found
these... That's why
I stay
away from the SmackDown
But then I found these really awesome things, and I was like, man, now I'm really pumped to see this.
Ever since Christian lost to Orton, that's why I don't read the SmackDown spoilers anymore.
Well, I did read Golson's review, and it was very, very devoid of spoilers. But he said that
at Golson,
yeah, he said the one thing that the movie does excel at is misdirection. So that can only mean that there's a ton of shit that the trailers aren't showing us.
Yeah,
and it definitely feels Earthbound, taking just that into consideration. But I'm incredibly excited for it. I don't think you guys are putting enough stock into the Shane Black name.
No, that's
I think I am.
I mean,
with the glib nature of
I'm seeing
Iron
the
Man.
Movie solely because of him.
Well, but you guys are still making it seem like You're still pretty nonplussed.
I think it's kind of a testament to Robert Downey Jr.'s power in Hollywood now that he's able to get someone like Shane Black, who, I mean, really hasn't been a player for years and years and years, and he's able to get him to co-write and direct, you know, the third installment of this massive hundreds of millions of dollars franchise, so.
And, of course, you know, their last collaboration is very, very fucking beloved. I wish it had the box office to show it.
Go off, hey, we made Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, because, you know, it's a really good movie, but nobody saw it, so.
He's doing for Shane Black's career what Mickey Rourke wishes he had the power to do for Eric Roberts's.
Like the third time on the podcast you brought light to that.
Did you not see the Independent Spirit Awards?
No, we've seen that, but it was four years ago.
Let's move on.
Eric Roberts is awesome, and Eric Roberts will always have work because he never says no. So
he was in Hunt to Kill with Steve Austin. But moving along,
he was in The Dark Knight. Man, come on,
he got his ankles broken.
Yeah,
from that height, the fall wouldn't kill him.
He could have potentially died in that movie.
He did die.
Did he?
Yeah,
they never showed.
They never showed it, but like at the end when they were like
spoilers.
Four. No, I haven't seen it. I'm pretty sure he died, but
the last shot is he's in a car that flips.
Oh yeah, but it's implied that he dies.
Yeah,
because Harvey Two-Face.
Yeah.
All right,
he's not wearing a seatbelt.
Buckle up.
He should
click it or
else
tick
it. Could end up like Eric Roberts in The Dark Knight.
All right, so moving along now. Summer 2013, and I guess we'll flip it here so we don't end on a negative note. Let's just go ahead and say the disasters we predict for this summer.
Lone Ranger?
Agreed.
Top of the list, I'd say, is that one and RPD, or whatever it's called.
Curtis, you agree on Lone Ranger, so we can say it's unanimous?
I'm a little bit more of the mind that... the people that wrote Lone Ranger, they also wrote Pirates of the Caribbean and Zorro. Stuff that's all fashioned after
the first one or the second one?
Zorro, the first Zorro.
Antonio Banderas one?
Yeah.
That's a fun movie.
They're all fashioned after
30s. Elliott and Terry Rozio.
Yeah. They're all fashioned after 30s and 40s serials, and they've been writing the same thing for so long that it's kind of a crapshoot, depending on their mood when they wrote it and your mood when you go see it. You might love it.
I'm so tired of Johnny Depp just doing Jack Sparrow over and fucking over again.
Preach.
And this one, it's like, it's all the trailers, you know, he's got the bird on his head and he's wacky. And Armie Hammer, holy shit, this is a talented guy who's had zero luck after The Social Network as far as being able to get a substantial role in a good movie. And here, I mean, he's the Lone Ranger in The Lone Ranger, and could there be any less thankful of a role that this guy has? Because he's going to be standing there while Johnny Depp's, I'm Tonto, which I assume is how he's going to play the role.
It's amusing that The Lone Ranger is so huge because the actor's so tall, and he's going to go up against the short guy who is going to just be chewing up all the scenery.
And I love Westerns, too, so whenever a Western gets made, I'm excited, but this just... Oh, God.
It's not much of a Western.
I hope I'm wrong, but this is my prediction for... Probably not money-wise, just based on Johnny Depp's name alone and franchise value, but,
it's going to probably...
This one, I could probably... pretty bad.
And Eddie, you were saying from the get-go this didn't have your interest because, for one, you've never been a big fan of the Pirates franchise, so this has little to draw you in, and you're tired of Johnny Depp being...
It pretty much has nothing to draw me in. Johnny Depp doing his big eccentric thing doesn't interest me very much. Of the five Gore Verbinski Johnny Depp team-ups of the past decade, Rango to me is the only one that's worth anything.
That was nice.
Rango's a fucking movie.
It's trying so hard to be the next big franchise. It just, like, everything about the trailer turned me off. There's not anything that's going to get me to see it.
And that's 4th of July weekend, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's the big one this year.
Bitty.
So,
be at the lake then.
Thing with RIPD that annoys me is I have actors where it's like if they're in a movie, I'll go see it regardless of what it's about just because I enjoy that actor so much.
Jeff Bridges,
exactly. And then there's actors there, if they're in the movie, I don't go see it because I detest them, and that's Ryan Reynolds. And he has fucked me over now twice because Denzel Washington also falls on that list, but I can't see Safe House because Ryan Reynolds is the
You don't want to see Safe House. Yeah,
and this one, it's kind of like Jeff Bridges, and it's kind of like, oh, that's kind of a neat action, sci-fi, comedy-esque idea for a movie. And, you know, Jeff Bridges can be funny, and I love watching him on screen. But Ryan Reynolds is going to be right there next to him, so it's... I just wish he'd go away.
Okay, so...
It seems like he's playing the serious man, though.
And Ryan Reynolds?
Yeah, it seems like he's the serious one, and Jeff Bridges is the caricature.
Ryan Reynolds has...
Green Lantern's light! Fuck him.
All right. Let's not all hate it with Ryan Reynolds. Let's not forget he was in Smoking Aces.
He's the only redeeming thing about Blade Trinity.
People have been saying Ryan Reynolds has potential for so long.
I know.
He's an immensely likable actor, but...
No, he's not. He is horrifically unlikable on screen.
Well, I disagree. My...
Well, fuck you.
Well, fair enough. The other point is that he's got such a horrible eye for scripts. Mm-hmm. Like, he never gives himself a chance with these
Adventureland.
Except for Adventureland,
where it was the character was slimy, a deconstruction of the typical Ryan Reynolds character, and at the end, he's an asshole, and no one likes him, and you realize what a piece of shit he is. Well, kind of like Ryan Reynolds. Yeah.
And it was so in a way,
it's almost a kind of brilliant, you know,
it's Ryan Reynolds punch drunk loaf.
Yeah, it's a supporting role in it, so he's not overriding. It's not like Waiting or Van Wilder or any of these fucking go away.
Just friends.
Just Friends is bad.
Fuck Just Friends.
We don't want to go down this rabbit hole. There's like two or three movies
we're gonna get
salvaged from this film.
We're going to get banged into the sinkhole, and then we're going to get banged back out.
I think, and this is in comparison to everything else he's done.
Buried is awful. I watched the end of it on YouTube because, spoiler alert, he dies horribly.
Buried's awful.
So that was great fun to watch that, like, 4 minutes on YouTube.
Definitely
Hope
Maybe.
Hope is dashed and he dies. And
definitely
the
Maybe.
The movie.
Definitely Maybe is a solid 2.5-star type of rom-com where it's inoffensive, it'll offer some entertainment, and it's better than Buried, Blade Trinity, Just Friends.
Van Wilder.
Amityville Horror.
Oh,
Van Wilder.
Fuck that guy's filmography.
And speaking of supporting roles for him, he has one or two laughs as the surgeon in Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle.
Yes, he does.
10 seconds of screen time.
He's best in small doses.
Yeah. All right. So now we got RIPD. Lone Ranger.
We're missing a lot of stuff.
Well,
we just need to go week by week.
Grown Ups 2, 300 Part 2, After Earth, Red 2.
Wait, 300, is 300 on your list of things you're going to be, you think are going to suck a lot?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, I would hope so, yeah.
Well, Grown Ups 2 opens the same day as Pacific Rim, and the heartbreaking thing about that is that it will overtake Pacific Rim financially that weekend because
I don't know.
America loves Kevin James.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
No,
I don't know.
No,
that is a flashy summer movie.
Grosses are going to depend entirely on how well it plays to foreign audiences, I think. I don't think it's going to be as big a domestic hit as you'd like to
believe. It's not going to be.
If they will fucking see Transformers, why don't they want to see giant robot beat up giant monsters?
It's not going to be idiotic.
There's no franchise name value attached to it, and there's not a star.
And there's no idiots either.
And it's opening up against the burgeoning sun that is Kevin James as far as star power goes.
Oh, yeah.
My boy Eddie just pulled up probably what would be my number one and number two. And that's a little ditty called World War Z, which looks like it could just be very, very bad.
Oh, there's an article that just came out today, actually, in Vanity Fair. It's a cover story about what a disaster the production has been and how everyone's bracing themselves for, just a financial lack of a better term, catastrophe.
And, like, not to sound like, you know, like, fanboy type thing. I really like Brad Pitt. I really like him. Yeah. He seems like a solid dude. He's made a lot of good movies. But at the same time, the first time I saw the trailer for that, I was just like, what?
Well, I guess it's unfortunate. I know what World War Z is, and this is not what World War Z is. And it's just like, this is Hollywood sticking its middle finger at you and being like, fuck you.
They travel in a ball.
The trailer does not indicate.
It's like Katamari.
Anything in the book.
Yeah.
I hope that the bigger part of the burden is getting laid at the feet of Mark Forster.
Kind of going back to what I was discussing a second ago, if Kevin James and Ryan Reynolds ever make a movie together, just stop the train, because I want off.
All right. You got anything to add to the list?
Because it will have a $40 million opening weekend.
I mean, White House Down, I guess. Son of after
that's what it'll be called.
After 2012?
Roland Emmerich. I'm a defender of Independence Day and Day After Tomorrow, and they entertain me a great deal, but...
You're a better man than me, sir.
Independence Day, but...
Especially with Olympus Has Fallen coming out, and like that was all I need as far as White House Under Siege movies.
The Day After Tomorrow did introduce us to Emmy Rossum, so... Yeah, I'll give it that. When they were trying for a couple years to like make her the it girl, and Merrick was like, "Nah, not gonna take."
It was not Phantom.
Wait, Phantom
came out the same year, but I think
Mystic River was the thing I think that introduced her. I think that was the year before.
She's in that movie for one minute.
She has one scene, and then she's
that Curtis remembers.
I mean, it technically beat the others to theaters.
All right. Well, you win. Are you happy?
I'm sure that Ryan 1 minute is still an made asshole, America so. Sweat.
And then pulling around to me and Curtis's pick for probably the biggest disaster of the summer would be Kick-Ass 2. Wouldn't you say?
It's gonna be awful.
Rewatching the first one recently, and it doesn't have as much replay value as I had hoped. And I'm kind of in the dark about Kick-Ass 2. Matt Vaughn's not directing it, is he?
No, he's not. It's Jeff Wadlow, the director of Never Back Down.
Ooh. Well, Christ.
I'm at least hoping that Jim Carrey is going to be amusing like Nicolas Cage was. And that's all it's got. I just want to see that performance and
I'm still baffled. Go to sleep after that. How did this get made? Because Kick-Ass lost so much money.
Kick-Ass 2 has...
I mean, that was supposed to be a franchise starter and a big grosser, and it didn't do anything.
It has like cult value. Maybe it had good DVD sales. I don't know.
It might have had good home video numbers. But.
It's also directed... It seems like it has the flair of, like, a TV movie. Like, there seems to be no imagination to any of the staging or anything, if the trailer is to be believed.
It's one of those things, I think the first one might have been as good as they're going to do, and if they can't leave good enough alone, then it might turn out to be pretty bad for them, a la Shane Douglas. But, and he said Red 2. I completely forgot about that. I've still never seen the first Red.
It's entertaining.
Fuck Red.
Yeah.
Fuck Red.
Red 1 is not a good movie.
Red 2.
I don't remember it well enough to really get into it. I just remember every time it was supposed to be funny, it wasn't. Every time there was an action sequence, it wasn't thrilling. It was just a total misfire. I'm pretty baffled by its fan base.
Red 2 is just one more step in the evolution of Bruce Willis as a geriatric punchline.
Mary Louise Parker is pretty hot, though.
Oh, my God.
Still. Always has been consistent.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. She is gorgeous.
Okay. Last one before we move on to what we're looking forward to. Great Gatsby could potentially be pretty disastrous. It's going to make a shit ton of money.
A lot of people like Baz Luhrmann. I'm not one of those people.
The film itself looks... You got something, Curtis?
No, I think Baz Luhrmann's an everything in the kitchen sink type guy. And for me, a little bit more of it sticks than I think there would. So I'm not overly negative about it.
When I first read The Great Gatsby, and I remember reading the book, and the whole time just something was bothering me about it. When I finally finished it, I was like, you know what it was? It was the fact that the book wasn't in 3D. That's the thing that was really holding it back. Fuck 3D. Movies through James me? Cameron.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's his big thing.
Oh, yeah.
Baz Luhrmann is, I mean, the worst example of style over substance. Moulin Rouge, that's enough. People love Moulin Rouge, and it looks pretty. You know, I mean, the costumes and the scenery are cool, but, I mean, it's empty. There's nothing to hold on to. And then Australia. Did anyone here actually see Australia? I had to screen that piece of shit before.
Yeah, no, I never saw it.
It's really, I mean, it. We'll talk about Nicole Kidman another day.
Well, that one's, I think that movie is more or less just nothing there on the screen.
Perpetrated on the American movie-going public for decades.
Well, Curtis, you were talking about how it's certainly a pretty movie. Like, it's very bright, it's colorful.
It's going to be good looking, and
party scenes look fun.
Nobody questions that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's what I think he's just trying to get, because that's all they show in the trailer is just how vibrant and colorful everything is.
It's got a great cast, and people love it. And, I mean, appropriate period music by Lady Gaga and Jay-Z.
Yeah.
Asshole.
And that Trent Reznor song that's all over the trailer.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You got anything to add to it, Eddie?
I want it to be good. There's a lot of people in it that I like.
Yeah, it's got a hell of a
your girl Carrie Mulligan's in it.
The trailer drives me crazy, though.
Carrie Mulligan got picked to play, or whatever the fuck her character, Daisy, over Rebecca Hall. Like,
Carrie Mulligan.
She was one of the
fuck her.
She was one of the first people that Baz Luhrmann cut from like the list of final candidates.
Well, no,
but
that was a bad choice, but Carey Mulligan is still good stuff.
A foreign, relatively unknown actress for an Oscar nominee.
Just,
you gotta do it.
Just no, watch. I mean,
well, she probably would have towered over everybody else, so that's
the,
probably why he cut
if
her.
The Academy would have had a brain in their heads, Rebecca Hall would have gotten some respect for the town.
So many of the fucking teenagers who are going to go see this opening weekend will not even know that it's based on a book, but that's indicative.
Most of them have to read it in high school. That's indicative of a much larger
problem.
No,
in
what
this
they're
country.
Not. I don't know if I think they'll be aware of the book. Well, I don't think they're going to be aware of the massively long thrill ride that they're going to be in for.
I would expect that teenagers don't want to see this movie because they're being forced to read the book in school. So the last thing they want to do is go watch this at the theater. But old people are going to be like, I remember The Great
with
Gatsby,
that old
and then they
guy,
get
Leo
treated
DiCaprio.
To this no. music that alienates them. So this movie does not work for anybody
it's
on
not
any level.
Succeed on any level.
No, people are still the young girls are still attracted to Leo. We're just lucky that he makes more movies for guys than he does for girls.
Well, I mean, every 10 to 15 years, DiCaprio does need to team up with Berman. Or Laz Berman for another literary adaptation so that...
Laz Berman?
Shut up, you know what I mean. Boz. Like Boz is any better.
Yeah.
But anywho, the point is they need to re-team every 10 to 15 years so a new generation of school kids can watch another one of their movies in class after reading
that's
the
one
book
of the,
or play or story.
You guys might not like Orange County, but that's one of the great lines in it where the guy holds up Romeo and Juliet is like, who comes to mind when you see this book? Leo DiCaprio. Who else? Who's the Claire Danes? Mm-hmm. Well, someone else comes to mind who's almost as important as those two, and his name's William Shakespeare.
I'll say this about Orange County. It's a better movie than Baz Luhrmann has ever made.
Is it as good as Lords of Salem?
Orange County?
Yeah.
No, it's a better movie than
Lords of Salem. All right, so moving along now to the anticipated movies of the summer. There's a lot to choose from. We'll get to that, but I'm going to kick it off.
You want to go in somewhat of an order? Because
yeah,
you can just knock
just go
it down.
Weekend by weekend.
All right, we could. Am I just supposed to, like, name these off as
well,
we go?
Well, okay, so we already talked about Iron Man 3.
Why don't we just...
And then Great Gatsby, which is the following week, next weekend. So what's the big release? The
Star Trek.
Three weeks from
Star
now.
Trek
Star
is
Trek?
The one
for Oh, Star
one.
Trek!
Yes. Okay, well, you seem to be far more excited than anybody else here, so you should go and tell us why this is
I could ask you
treat.
What you thought of the first Star Trek, but I, for some reason, I think I know.
You liked it, didn't you?
He started out not liking it, and now he does like it, so.
All right, no, it looks pretty awesome, Star Trek Into Darkness, I think.
Yeah, I can't wait. I hope it doesn't turn out that he is actually Khan, though, because Ricardo Montalban is dead. so no one should ever play Khan again. There's just no one can do it. Yeah, I can't wait. Looks awesome. A lot of people hated the first one, and yeah, it was derivative of Star Wars. And yeah, it was very convenient plotting that he was shot onto the planet that Scotty happened to be on, and they met and were, like, already back on the ship about 10 minutes later in screen time. But I had so much fun that I was willing to forgive that.
Yeah.
Yeah, looks fun. Can't wait. It's pretty much all I got.
Anything to add, anybody? Not one thing or the other, anybody?
I think it's going to be good. I'm not as excited about it as I should be.
Then Memorial Day weekend, we've got the doubleheader of Fast 6, which looks like it's going to be awesome. And the
if Hangover... If Michelle Rodriguez can beat up Gina Carano in that movie, I'm rioting, because I'm not getting behind that one.
It's a movie.
Nah.
Thomas
Jane, I had to watch Vin Diesel beat up Rock.
Thomas Jane beat up Kevin Nash, and I'm not so confident that could happen. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But we got Fast 6 and The Hangover Part 3. I know, Eddie, you're a big fan of the Fast franchise, especially Fast 5. You looking forward to Fast 6?
Oh, I'm a big fan of Fast 5.
Okay.
Not the franchise.
Okay, I'm sorry.
The big twist reveal at the end of that one was that Michelle Rodriguez's character was still alive, right?
Yeah.
Even though her death was like the thing driving the plot in the fourth one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The self-contained mythology in these stupid movies is just getting too ridiculous.
And that they're fully aware that their character in the fifth one has to die for the third one, so they even make a callback to it at the end of the fifth one. They have a character in the movie
named Han. He's a Korean fella. He made his first appearance in the third Fast and Furious movie, Tokyo Drift, and he dies in that one. So everything from part four onwards has been taking place before the third film. So they're all sort of prequel sequels. So
they can't actually go too far as long as they're going to keep including this kid.
Okay.
That's a bit much for that franchise. Okay, so being a fan of Fast 5, though, are you excited for Fast 6?
Yeah, I think they've...
I'm sorry.
I think they found what these movies should have been, which is just, like, a big, you know, a big, like, all-star gathering and international racing and thievery. And, like, the street racing stuff was never very interesting to me, but at least... It seems like with 5, they've really embraced their inherent dumbness, and they're just focused on having fun.
And Fast 6 is the actual title. That's the
Fast and Furious 6. I'm sorry.
Okay, because like they were able to play around with the other ones enough.
Yeah.
But I guess they just kind of gave up.
And then of course, Hangover Part 3 is not something we can really go deep into about the. Like the idealism behind it and all that. But after Hangover 2...
No interest.
Really? After Hangover 2, I feel they may redeem themselves.
I thought Hangover 2 was one of the most just cynical examples of like soulless Hollywood sequel making ever. I just... Yeah.
I don't know.
Are these both opening on that Friday?
Memorial Day.
One of them's gonna blink and open on that Wednesday.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Because they can't count on, we're gonna go see both of them, you know? We're gonna go see one Friday and one Saturday.
I think Fast 6 will be the one that blinks if it's gonna happen.
Yeah.
Because they'll certainly love having the extra days in
the next week, I predict one's gonna move up to that Wednesday just to get the jump. Hangover, whatever.
All right. After Earth, Now You See Me.
Neither one of those two look any good.
The Internship, The Purge, which was going to be on one of my...
I'm intrigued.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued.
We were talking about before we started recording. That's probably one of my more anticipated ones.
Could be bad, but I'd go see that, unless like reviews are just unanimously awful ahead of time.
Anything to add on that one? Anybody? The Purge is a horror movie starring Ethan Hawke. Yeah.
No, I mean, The Purge looks all right, but most of the studio fare this summer is very uninspiring. Like
the real Ethan Hawke, not the fake one from WWE Studios?
That's right.
Yeah, the big budget stuff for this summer, like, I'll see it, but I'm not excited by much of it.
Which is interesting, because it brings us along to June 14th. And The Bling Ring. by Sofia Coppola. No, more importantly, on June 14th is Man of Steel, which is what it seems that is the big movie of the summer that most people are excited about. I want to be excited about it, but it's a Zack Snyder movie, so I'm only as excited as I'm permitting myself to be.
Are people more excited for that?
Cautiously optimistic is how I would describe my...
I've heard a lot more anticipation for Man of Steel than Iron Man.
Well, I guess, I mean, Superman's more of an iconic American figure for us, so...
And especially it's in the DC universe, and they're portraying it, they're following the Dark Knight vein about trying to make it darker, and...
It will be interesting to see, though, how... because. Do y'all remember way back when Superman Returns? I mean, the hype machine on that was insane, but it, from the very first night that was in theaters, they were panicking because it underperformed really well. So I don't know if Superman, just the idea of Superman is out of date, you know, the idealistic American Boy Scout, if that's just something from a past era, or... the fact that Superman Returns was a god-awful movie could have had something to do with it, but I don't know. I hope it's good. I hope it's really good. I hope Zack Snyder was director in name only.
It's got a really nice cast in it. I mean, yeah, it's got like Fishburne, it's got Michael Shannon, it's got...
Kevin Costner, Diane Lane.
Amy Adams.
I mean,
the limey Crow, who's playing Superman.
Gina Carano's boyfriend.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Henry Carano.
Thankfully, he doesn't have a lot of pull, so she can't be Lois Lane.
Oh, no, Superman.
But you said her voice sounded more feminine, so it might actually be nicer.
Well, we should comment on the fears about it's a Zack Snyder movie.
Slow motion.
Yeah, I mean, you think you're going to get, what, something of akin to Sucker Punch meets 300? Meets Watchmen. You're going to get somewhere in that triangle.
The thing about Snyder is, like, he can make a movie that isn't a complete train wreck if, like, the story's been written for him. Sucker Punch was complete. His, like, everything about that was him. And I've never seen it, but everything I've heard has been absolutely 100% negative. So...
It's had pretty one of the hilarious. Worst trailers I've ever seen cut together.
Eddie, what side do you sit on the Man of Steel?
I'm with Stein on the cautiously optimistic, but...
Won't be surprised if it's bad?
I would be, given the involvement of the Nolans.
I mean, I was just said this before we start recording, but they're talking so much, or they're putting all these articles out about how they want this to be a branching off point for them. Don't you think, like... They see this movie, and they would be like, this looks like crap. This is not going to be what is going to, you know, start a whole new franchise for us, or Justice League movies. So, I mean, if it's something like, I don't know, 300 or Sucker Punch, I can't see them getting so behind this movie like they've been talking about.
I think that what they should do is just not put so much on its shoulders, like, right out of the gate. They should give it a chance to see how people respond to it. Like, if they could do that, and I know that that's not the aim, that's not what the people in charge are looking after, but if they would just, you know, pretend that they could do that for about 5 seconds right before the movie opens, then they'll be able to manage expectations. They'll be happy with the way that it performs. Like, they're just giving them so many crosses that are theirs alone to bear, and it's a little ridiculous.
Time will tell.
Well, DC is pretty much late to the game because Marvel has been taken off so long that, I mean, they've got their Batman, but I think that's a rather standalone character. He does not fit in well with the rest of the Justice League.
Yeah, I mean, they want the idea. They want the Avengers money, but...
Yeah.
The Nolan Batman universe is done, but even if it wasn't, that can't... How he did that when Superman and Wonder Woman and Green wouldn't fit.
Yeah, like Martian Manhunter, the guy that can shapeshift, walk through walls. I don't know, his mind moves things. I mean, what can you do like that that looks anything like what Dark Knight did?
Do you want to try and direct Christian Bale in a scene opposite Martian Manhunter? What is going on? Yeah.
Well, we'll see. I thought that was later in the summer, but June 14th. But yeah, Bling Ring. That Emma Watson's a looker, so
She's got that fuck you money, man. She's got Harry Potter movie, and so she can do these small character roles now.
This is the end. Me and Eddie, we've talked about it before, hoping it's good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's a pretty general thing to say, because I hope...
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
I generally hope everything is good, so it's not a waste of everyone's time.
But you were saying you hope it's what the watch could have been type of thing?
No, I'm just... I hope it's not what the watch was. Okay. But,
Did anyone actually see the watch?
Yeah. I just... It's going to be self-indulgent to the max, and not in a good way.
It feels less like everybody's jacking off for a camera than it looks like.
It does a good job of collecting all these comedic actors that have been in all these kind of comedies that have been
around lately. And Emma Watson.
That actually worked, not the grown-ups collection, but like the comedies that actually worked. So it's nice to see them all together in a movie and pretty much poking fun at themselves.
See, now, you want to...
It's got an amount of intrigue.
What he said, now that could be intriguing as far as like if Adam Sandler and Kevin James Chris Rock were able to do something like This Is the End, you know, something kind of reflexive and self-indulgent, that's every Adam Sandler movie, but they played just take those guys and put them in this kind of concept, that could be a funny movie.
Yeah.
Not this grown-up shit.
I do think you have a point.
Kevin James might even be able to get a chuckle out of
it. The only positive thing...
there'd be a joke about how he's fat.
Here comes the boom is awesome.
The only positive thing I can say about grown-ups is it's not a good movie, but I did believe them as people with a history that would actually be friends. So, like, seeing them do something like that...
The fact that they've all known each other for years off-screen probably contributed to that.
Yeah, well, I mean, it still doesn't hurt. I mean, it's still the only thing about the movie that worked for them.
All right, we got the big kids movie of the summer, which I'm... Well, it's not even kids, but Pixar movie can't qualify as kids movies that much anymore.
Family.
Yeah. Monsters University.
That's for kids.
No, yeah, Monsters Planes University. Planes is not the big one either. Like
Planes isn't Pixar.
It's not?
Right?
No,
it's a Disney.
Monsters University is Pixar's.
Oh yeah, it's their last minute. Yeah. You got a last minute
parental
reprieve.
Guidance was just the tease. This is Billy Crystal's final plan to completely retake Hollywood.
No, Planes was supposed to be direct video, but then at the last minute they were like, "Let's make it theatrical." All
right, what's the next big one?
Dane Cook's star power is such that they were.
So is Untitled Terrence Malick project coming out on July 4th?
Bad on it.
Is probably not.
Yeah, okay, because it's still untitled, so...
Yeah.
All right. Pacific Rim, we discussed. God Forgives. There we go. That's another big one.
Pacific Rim will be the little speck in the rearview mirror that is grown-ups, too. As America's IQ collectively drops further that weekend.
What if they have a joke about going to see Pacific Rim in grown-ups?
It'll probably be that Kevin James is too fat that he can't fit in one theater seat because he's fat.
Or they can't fit in that robot.
And that's the entire crux of Kevin James' fucking humor.
Was Drive a summer release?
Fall? No. I watched it on my birthday.
Late September, I think.
Okay, so is there any value to be put in that Only God Forgives, the follow-up to it, gets a summer release? Is that...
What's it say on
Just in terms of do you want to see it, like, amidst all that stuff, then it has its value there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it's an odd choice to put it on the summer. It just seems like it's a fall release.
I imagine
it'll
probably be a very small release. Probably not a 3,000 screens weekend, but that director and Ryan Gosling, can't wait.
Yeah.
Counter-programming has its place, so it's not that weird.
Yeah. Drive was one of the best films the last few years, so I can't wait to see what they do next.
Agreed. July 24th is The Wolverine, which I think...
Cautiously optimistic.
I don't like the trailer, but I want to see it.
It's a nice idea, I think, because, I mean, as these comic book movies are getting bigger and better, this movie is like him going back to his roots, essentially. Like, he's just a guy in this movie.
So that trailer was already better than First Class or... what was the... Origins Wolverine, so.
Well, I don't agree
with
that.
I don't know. I don't think this trailer was better than the Wolverine Origins trailer.
No, I meant the movies themselves. Oh. The trailer was better.
I'll go with that one, yeah.
Your next is a summer movie?
End of summer.
Word.
Yeah. That's,
It's another one we saw the trailer in front of Robert Zombie's latest opus. And
that's August.
It's South by, but...
August 23rd cool. is your next, which I've heard about for, it's been out, or it would,
it's been on
festivals for a while.
Yeah. It's been sitting on the shelf for like 2 years.
But yeah. it's gotten a lot of great buzz playing like late night screenings at festivals.
It looks very interesting. It's basically a horror movie about like these guys that
It's stuff of legend. I have heard about it. Yeah.
So, and then August 9th, we got Elysium, which is the first movie by the director of District 9 since District 9, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you just watch the trailer, Chris? Neil what was your take?
Yes.
It looks cool. I'm glad I don't know much about the plot.
It looks fucking awesome.
Looks very.
I'm
looks
like very it pleased cool, with this.
Yeah. And Matt Damon, he's on that list for me. It's like, I like him enough to where it's like if he's in something, I'll go see it.
Unless it's called Green
for,
Zone.
Well, except for Promised Land.
Promised Land was
that
not good.
That just looks so fucking pandering. I was like, I'm going to have to take a pass on this.
Side tangent. Did you watch Green Zone?
Yeah.
Did you like it?
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was like 5 years too late. Maybe three. If it had come out in like 2006, I probably would have responded a lot stronger to it.
I liked it, but nobody saw it, so.
Back before the stroke.
No, it's just, it's more like 9/11 type stuff. Those movies just had their day, and they're done.
Eddie, what would be your most anticipated movie this summer? I don't think we covered it, did we?
No,
Planes.
Yeah, well, yeah, we kind of touched on Planes, but
Grown-Ups too.
Well, the reason, no, that one is a given, because I find Kevin James to be super hilarious. But, no, the movie I'm looking forward to more than any other is Before Midnight.
It's great.
I've heard nothing but great things. The first two are some of the best films of this, well, I guess not the decade, but
in between when they came out.
Yeah, they're great. They're, you know, what that genre can be at its best, and you know, tying it back into Ethan Hawke. This is the Ethan Hawke movie that you should see first this summer.
Do a double
if you can only choose one Ethan Hawke movie.
This is
they're practically the same movie.
Certainly go watch that one instead of Purge.
This is the Ethan Hawke movie you should go to jail for pirating.
Billy Crystal and Ethan Hawke are going to be duking it out as far as who's the biggest star this summer.
Curtis, we leave anything out on your account? I know we kind of dribbled off there towards the end, but it's...
No, it's because I also, like Eddie, I have a number of small movies on my list, and we didn't go over them.
Grown-Ups, too.
The East, which is the follow-up to Sound of My Voice.
Yeah.
It's from the same creative team. It looks really good. Me and Benner saw the trailer, and I'm sure Eddie did, too, before Mud, called The Way, Way Back. It looks like it's a coming-of-age comedy.
Mm-hmm.
It's written by Jim Rash and Nat Faxon.
Oh, wow.
Oscar winners now.
Isn't it Offman?
Yeah.
Descendants?
That's the other one? That's the other one. Lords of Summer.
Yeah, it's got Sam Rockwell.
Or Kings of Summer. Yeah, it's got Sam Rockwell in it.
Rudolph.
It's about a kid who goes away with his mom and her boyfriend for the summer.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't really like his mom's boyfriend, so he starts hanging out at a water park.
Hmm.
And has his first crush and everything. It's sort of like a... Well, it's getting me a little wistful in the same way that Adventureland does, but I don't think it's going to end up being as, you know,
love
sad and cynical.
Oh, this one is
bittersweet,
a comedy.
Not cynical.
I think Adventureland was cynical, but bittersweet.
Adventureland is great. Like, Adventureland is funny to me.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's
love
just
the ending of that movie.
It's just giving me warm fuzzies the same way that movie does.
Who's the writer and the guy who's in the movie from Ben and Kate?
Oh, that's Nat Faxon. He's also the German guy from Beerfest.
Yeah, that guy's pretty talented, so...
He's also in Orange County. See, it all comes around in the end.
Yeah, I hope this
Which
movie gets some recognition.
Which, incidentally, is a better movie than,
Lords of Salem.
Let's just go. Yeah, Lords of Salem.
Anything else on the...
First Class, that's what the joke was going to be. But I fucked it up.
You got any smaller movies that you're looking for this summer, Ben?
Way, Way Back was the only one that was smaller that I was thinking. Oh, and that Only God Forgives. But, yeah, I mean, everything else we've covered already.
How do you pronounce the director's name?
It's like Zoll. It's weird because it looks like Batman something. It's like Batman Golly or Batman Golly or something.
Hmm. Which director?
The East. Sound of My Voice in the East. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's all...
Let's say the guy who did Drive, I'm not 100% certain on how to pronounce
Nicholas,
his name.
Nicholas Windig Refn.
Is it Windig?
Yeah, I think...
Okay.
It's like Zandig.
Yeah. Well, he has...
Windig.
Zandig.
It's spelled winding.
Yeah,
but the second in apparently is
five. I just call him Nicky.
Eddie, you got another one for us?
Yeah, more smaller ones, and this is stuff that's been on the festival circuit, like Here Next. The one that like went over like gangbusters at South By called Drinking Buddies.
I haven't heard of that.
Oh, that's the one with Allison Brie and and Nick
Jake
from
Johnson,
New Girl.
Anna Kendrick.
Oh, Anna Kendrick.
That's a nice cast.
Hey, I've heard nothing but good things. I don't really know much of what it's about. I've been trying to stay away from it, but I've heard enough that I'm really interested. And then there's one. It could be. There's two actually that could be complete disasters, but I'm excited because of either source material or the creative team behind it. And one is called Syrup, which is based on a novel by Max Barry. He's an Australian author, and I think he's hilarious. He writes really funny satires, and I'm just excited that one of his books is being turned into a movie. Nice. The cast, however, featuring the likes of who is it? Like Brittany Snow, Amber Heard, Shiloh Fernandez.
Those last two are killing it.
They don't inspire any confidence.
I was about to say that's not exactly
the Brittany Snow one I was okay with.
And then
those other two. Oh,
then
gosh.
The other small one is called We're the Millers, which
With Sudeikis,
Jennifer Aniston, Nick Offerman.
Aniston.
The reason I'm excited for it is
she jumps into something.
Well, it's from the guy that wrote and directed Dodgeball, which I think is
Rawson
hilarious.
Marshall Thurber.
Yeah, and
Dodgeball is really.
Am I the only person that knows that guy's full name?
No,
all three of them.
I know it.
Am I the only person that doesn't like Dodgeball?
I don't like that.
You're not
either.
Alone.
And then the other big one that I think we overlooked was The World's End from Simon Pegg, Edgar Wright, Nick Frost.
That comes out?
Yeah.
Oh,
that comes out in August.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, there was no trailer for it yet, so it just kind
of
slipped my mind.
There's a trailer for it. Edgar Wright.
So I guess, is that supposed to be his movie before he moves on to Ant-Man?
Yeah, it's...
Because that's going to take some years to produce.
They'll never make an Ant-Man movie.
Well, they already got it booked, and if they're going to rush Iron Man 2, they'll rush that piece of crap.
No, that's... Ant-Man, come on.
Ant-Man is just a segue to the Martian mutant dude you guys were talking about a while ago.
It's Martian Manhunter.
Martian Manhunter.
Show some respect.
Hopefully he'll show up to
I will only see it.
Those are competing companies,
Ant-Man
buddy.
Ant-Man movie. If Steve Buscemi is cast as the Ant-Man, and it's just him in a spandex ant costume going, yeah! No studio, no eccentric billionaire is going to spend $100 million on a fucking Ant-Man movie.
Vince will pick up the script for WWE Studios.
Yeah! Gonna make one of those comic books.
They were so damn happy to show their test footage at Comic-Con.
Yeah.
Getting reactions out of that, so
I was actually going into
this Ant-Man.
If they're gonna make Guardians of the fucking Galaxy, they'll make Ant-Man.
Well, that's too complete. I mean, what do you do in an Ant-Man movie? What's the dramatic? It's Ant-Man.
You protect the queen.
Honey, I shrunk the kids, but he's an adult.
To be fair, if
they
want to
feel cream pie.
I hope the end is that they find out they've been stuck in some child's ant farm, and the kid floods them.
If the Avengers feels the need
to just let all the other ants die, I don't know, maybe
a wisecracking raccoon that shoots lasers.
Maybe the stakes are right.
See, now there's a movie.
Marvel will let them do it. Like,
well, like I'm saying, if they're gonna make fucking Guardians of the Galaxy, they're gonna make Ant-Man.
Chris Pratt gotta eat.
Is Ant-Man Marvel?
Yes, he's Marvel. He was one of the first Avengers. He should have been in the goddamn movie.
No, he shouldn't.
If they'll force it into Marvel's game plan, then it'll definitely happen.
How would that not fit an Avengers movie? The fucker can grow the size of a skyscraper.
Well, hey guys, one more thing before before I have nothing else to add. I saw a trailer for something that looked really cool lately. I don't know if you guys have talked about it, but have any of you guys seen Trance?
Oh, man.
I don't think so.
It's hilarious.
We would have talked about it on here if someone had seen it, so.
Yeah.
the money shot in the Avengers, like the one that was in the was the 360 where you have all the Avengers there, like getting ready, you know, big fight. So you have all these iconic characters, and then it comes around, and you have fucking Ant-Man.
Yeah.
Fucking Black Widow. Who knows who fucking Black Widow was before Iron Man?
Scarlett Johansson in a leather suit. Yeah. Yeah.
Was transparent.
Or as they call it on
full
the
full review online.
It was pretty interesting. Before I read the lineup for the summer, I figured
Falcon is going to be in these Marvel movies as well. Like, it's a fucking guy with wings strapped on his back.
I mean, for all this,
it's no dumber than Archangel in First Class.
For all this complaining, we have no one to blame but ourselves because we're the buffoons that keep going to all these comic book movies, making the executives sit back and be like, "What other things can we throw out there?"
Buscemi, get in the spandex soon.
Give me somebody.
Give me a
find
just
out
a
when
dramatically lit shot of him. A hero will rise.
It'll be Fillion or somebody like that.
Find out when he's free from Boardwalk Empire and get the spandex ready.
We'll cast Michael Shannon as the bad guy. He'll be riding a big aerosol can.
No, he's riding the bee from Honey I Shrunk the
Kids. I will find him.
But to try to get serious, when I was reading the lineup for the summer, for some reason I thought it was just another summer of remakes and sequels, and there are a large amount of sequels.
Yeah. What gave it away between Iron Man 3 and Hangover 3 and Star Trek 2
and Lone Ranger?
Fast and Furious 6.
Red 2.
Just wait till next summer when they got that Ant-Man movie out.
Yeah, there's your original programming.
Captain America 2.
Hopefully Ant-Man. Yeah, hopefully April's in the start of
April. Or no, actually, I think
April.
It's,
no, it's mid-April.
Is it next year? I thought that was 14 as well.
That was supposed to be sarcasm, by the way, guys, about the summer being.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, next year is 14.
Oh,
this
yeah.
13. Okay. But yeah, April, it's April next year.
Yeah, it starts in April with that one.
Well. You heard it here first on the Box Ship and Podcast. Steve Buscemi is the Ant-Man.
And no, next it's not going to be. Fuck you guys.
And next
fuck
year's
y'all.
2014. No,
because everybody was so happy to see fucking Scarlett Johansson, and when people heard that they were making a Thor movie, everybody was going, "That's going to be the greatest movie ever."
Okay,
well,
but that fucking movie came out, and you agree, movie's awesome.
I'm guilty of the Thor accusation.
You're guilty
of
liking Thor.
I thought it was going to be shit, and it turned out to be my favorite. The entire Avengers series.
Oh my god.
And of course now people are going to be legit excited for Thor 2.
For Steve Buscemi as Ant-Man?
They were like, what the fuck?
Dude, I'm more excited for Steve Buscemi as Ant-Man than I am for anything related to Thor.
Thank you. God damn.
I'm sorry.
Is there anything
Thor's
more
awesome.
Out of place
Thor's
in
fucking
the Avengers
awesome.
Or the Marvel? He worked well in the Avengers movie as the ensemble. Like, the Hulk fight was awesome, and, like, he had some funny moments. But a Thor movie by itself,
All right, well, agree to disagree, you know?
Even Kat Dennings' huge jugs can save that movie.
Well, they were
they probably should have thrown
from
a
the viewer in that
in
one.
Somewhere.
Oh. All right. Winding this up here, is it a good summer? Are we looking at a good summer, gentlemen?
You'll have to ask us at the end of August.
Yeah.
And at this point.
Yes, sort of.
If you're Al Roker and I'm asking you, is the forecast good? What are you saying?
The first half is awesome, I think.
It's, there's more.
It's really front-loaded. It's a front-loaded summer, but.
There's more, kind of stuff spaced out. I mean, last summer it was Avengers Dark Knight Rises. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and then there were a couple other movies that were released between those two. But this one at least has some more kind of peppered throughout.
Yeah.
So.
Well, with the big expensive movies, don't they shoot their load in the first couple of months?
It's kind of strategic. Well, every weekend's up for grabs now, but the big ones are the very first weekend.
I'm sorry.
The very first weekend, the middle weekend of May, Memorial Day, middle weekend of June, 4th of July, the Dark Knight weekend, which I guess is now the second to last weekend of July.
Well, that's the Warner Brothers slide.
Yeah, well, that's become now just one of the most sought after because it's kind of like whatever the 4th of July releases has died down, and you're going to get it before the big August release. So.
All right. Eddie, you're saying it's pretty front-loaded, but you think we're in for a good summer?
I'm just getting to be a bitter old man, because I, like, looking at the big tentpole movies, I don't care about really, like, Fast and the Furious is the one I'd say I'm most interested in, but even then, that's not very much.
There's no artistic interest that goes into that.
He's like the rest of us. He's just waiting for Ant-Man.
Yeah, we're all biding time until Ant-Man climbs out of the hill. But, I'm really excited for the slate of smaller movies. Those are the ones that'll tell the tale for me. We'll be, I guess, able
to supplement.
I'm lucky that I get to see most of these movies for free, but if I had to pay for the movies coming out this summer, there's probably 7 at most that I would actually want to pay money to go and see.
And how many of them are actually, like, the big ones? Because you said you're looking more
forward to it. Like, if I only had 7 tickets to see go to movies this summer, I don't think I would use any of them on a big summer movie.
That's damning.
Would you give any of them to your wife? That's another question.
I don't know. Would you?
No. I mean, have a wife.
If Ant-Man were out this summer, that would get all 7 of the fictional tickets.
Would your daughter get any of the tickets, Curtis?
Because I want to see...
Could she get into something without you there?
Benner, you're a comic book guy, so are you excited? You got a pretty good one-two punch coming here with Iron Man.
The one-two punch is the only thing that I'm excited for about the summer.
Only God Forgives.
I did not like that trailer, but I have faith in those guys. But so I'm not very excited for that one, but I'm optimistic for it. But yeah, the 1-2 punch is awesome. But the other ones, the franchise movies, like Fast and Furious,
Hangover.
Pacific Rim is very interesting to me, I think, because I can't believe they're making a movie like that with as much money as they got behind it.
Who's it?
See it that first weekend when
Gil Romero or whatever.
Guillermo del Toro.
Guillermo del Toro. Yeah. And Charlie Hunnam.
Del Toro.
Idris Elba.
Charlie Elba, Day. One of the most underutilized actors.
Charlie Hunnam?
Today. No, Idris Elba.
Oh, well, Charlie Hunnam.
That dude
also,
always brings it in every role.
Me and Curtis.
He was in Thor.
Charlie Hunnam was on this little unheard of German show we used to watch called Undeclared. So. That's a Curtis joke, and you laughed at it.
You delivered it.
Okay. Curtis, forecast looking good this summer, or are you just kind of meh?
Oh, no, it's looking pretty good.
Or are you meh?
No, it's looking good. I'm a little bit more stoked about May.
Poor
than
Sony
else.
With their Wolverine.
But
yeah, Wolverine's definitely, and this is like the discussion. You know, the discussion between the five of us basically symbolizes America, and it's overshadowed Wolverine because it's just like it looks like it'd be good, but
it's at the end of the summer. 20th Century Fox, right? At that point,
Man, 20th Century Fox.
Iron Man will be done, and you know, Man of Steel will be their sanker. Risen by that point, so it'll have that last couple weeks of summer to it.
Despite the fact that I perversely enjoy X-Men Origins Wolverine, it did leave such a terrible taste in people's mouth. This movie is going to have to bring a lot of goodwill to reinstore people's faith or restore.
It doesn't have enough.
Just okay.
It doesn't have enough colons in the title.
It's feeling to me like, in terms of its scale and its quality, like I said, I want to see it. I want to give it the benefit of the doubt, but the trailer doesn't do much for me. It's making me reminiscent of Elektra, and that's not a good thing.
Ooh. Yikes.
It's got Will Young Lee, who is from Elektra, so that's another thing that's that can't help but make me feel that way.
Yeah.
I don't want to feel this way. It's just happening.
All right, well, we got to get out of here.
What? I want to talk about something.
What are you going to talk about?
Trance?
I got to see a movie in 70mm the other day. I'd never done that before, and it's one of my favorites. So I just like to
are
take
you
going to
tell
on.
Us what the movie was?
Yeah, yeah. No, I saw Year of the Dragon, and I think, you know, as summer continues to get bigger in scale, like the one thing that we're losing is like movies on film now. Like
it's gone.
That's a dying art or dead. And you know, I'd never seen something on 70mm, so it was cool. it was cool just to have seen it again.
At the Ritz?
Yeah.
Yeah, and saw the Master there, and it's weird because you don't realize it at first because they have, like, the regular scope trailers in front of it. Like, why is that so stretched and distorted? And then the whole image fills up. You're like, oh, my God.
Yeah. But nice. It was cool. Plus, Year of the Dragon's from the handsome Mickey Rourke era, which is when all his movies were really good.
Wow.
Because, you know, in the mid-90s, he retired to become a boxer. He was going to have 16 fights in his career. But he got beat so badly that after 8, he had to retire and they had to give him facial reconstruction surgery.
Year of the Dragon was 80,
some 85.
Of those, 85.
So some of those,
you were in college then, right?
Yeah.
he was in grad school. Some of those wins, by the way, on Mickey Rourke's boxing record are pretty disputable.
Yeah, I didn't even know that he'd actually won any of them. I thought that he just took a beating for 8 fights.
He got banned from boxing a couple times.
Yeah, I've seen a couple where it looked like guys kind of took dives. But he trained with Freddie Roach, so that's as legit as you can come. Anyway, Year of the Dragon, Drafthouse Ritz, 70mm.
You know, it's a great crime movie. It's directed by Michael Cimino of the notorious Heaven's Gate fame,
and also
but also
the Deer Hunter.
but it follows on the heels of the notorious disaster of Heaven's Gate.
Yeah, that's the full title of
the notorious disaster of Heaven's Gate. No, it's just it's a really solid, amazing crime epic. Came under fire at the time for its racism, but a lot of it is very justified because Mickey Rourke is a just returned Vietnam vet, and he's just irrevocably broken in his perception of Asians.
Yeah.
So I think that the whole racist element, the movie comes by it very honestly, and they discuss it pretty thoughtfully on most occasions. But no, it's
good film.
It's really good. Yeah. And I think, you know, despite how incredible Mickey Rourke is in it, the woman that plays his wife, I think, is one of the movie's secret weapons. Just because of the way that her and the reporter woman, just the way that they're able to balance their frustration with Rourke's character and how much they're still drawn to him and can't totally ignore him, despite how much of a headache he is for them. Like, I think it's a nice element because he seems like someone you'd be better off not having in your life.
How did the print look?
The print,
30-year-old. 85, not quite.
It was
old movie.
It wasn't in pristine condition, but, you know, in the waning days of certain theaters having, you know, projector equipment, it was in much more pristine condition than it should have been.
Cool.
And the guy who hosted the screening
introduced it.
Yeah, he owned the print as well, and so he got a little long-winded courtesy in his introduction of the film.
Cool.
But it was cool that he was passionate about it because...
I missed the second screening on Sunday, but that's okay because I saw Lords of Salem.
Yeah!
Y'all didn't even talk about that one.
We talked about it before we recorded.
Is it not worth anything?
No, we talked about it already. It's
not as good as Ant-Man's gonna be.
All right.
Who would y'all cast to play Ultron?
Who is Ultron?
It's Ant-Man's nemesis. Read a book.
Not the Exterminator.
Now that one,
or the young child.
What about
like the '60s Batman TV show of Ant-Man? The Exterminator would be
Cesar Romero.
Vincent Price or Cesar Romero would have.
All right, Ben, anything to plug this week?
No. Nope.
I hope it's Michael Shannon and some sort of spandex to counteract.
I hope it's Eric.
Is that
Bana.
What you want to plug this week? Michael Shannon in some sort of spandex.
Eddie is the guest. Anything you've seen, anything
Eric
you've done?
Eric Bana will have ant killers. He'll say, spray everything!
Well played, Brandon. Well played.
Thank you.
But, yeah,
no.
All right. Stein.
Ant-Man.
All right, Lords of Salem.
No.
Okay.
Do I have any...
All right. Well, yeah. Check out Bachelorette on Netflix. I just watched that, and it's good.
On ABC,
they fight for family and love.
Christian Bale and Katie Holmes.
All right. Follow Curtis on Instagram at Brando814. Pictures of food and cats.
Hey, that's what it is.
It's what's up.
My cats.
Your cats.
A lot of cats. There's all kinds.
Any pet that's not my own is fair game.
There's cats, and then there's cats on there, man.
I'm sorry, any pet that's not your own is fair game.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, this is one of the best episodes.
All right, we're gonna get on out of here.
This is making the clip.
Thanks, show. Thanks for listening, Eddie. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks. I was gonna say thanks for being here. It was fine.
All right. We'll catch y'all next time.
Pleasure was all ours.
All right. Take care. Thanks, guys. We'll see you later.
Yeah.